I'll be back. You can't keep the Democrats out of the White House forever. And when they get in, I'm back on the street with all my criminal buddies.
Change has come to America.
The truth is out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military industrial complex.
Highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
I've now been in 57 states.
Welcome to PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody, and welcome to the Static Quo.
It has been the most static-filled couple of weeks that I can remember in my life.
There have been times when Derek and I have touched each other in a very pristine manner, I might add.
Yes.
And we are married. And you can actually see arcs.
It's bizarre.
And poor Sammy, every time we reach out to pet him, he sort of
ducks. Yeah. Well, it's the dry air, cold winter. We could do with a little global warming here in mid-Indiana, but we're just thankful to be indoors, warm, and out of the wind. So I hope you are fine.
Amen.
Hope this
Amen
finds you in the same place. We're expecting a couple inches, well, possibly 4 to 6 inches of snow, depending on how the storm tracks here over the next couple of days. All part of that climate change I keep hearing about on the radio these days.
I know. Boy, this global warming, it's just really
killer.
It is. You know, speaking of global warming, I saw an article earlier today talking about how the Arctic is continuing to just disappear, diminish. It's a goner. Well, you know, seriously, what if, bear in mind, when we do our what ifs, we're not saying that we have scientific, you know, proof of this. But, you know, here's speculation. What if we really are in store for a polar shift and the Arctic is going to become the temperate zone of the world?
Well, those hardy pioneers, ancestors of mine, the offshoots of the clan who decided to keep pushing forward north from the Dakotas up into Manitoba and Saskatchewan and Alberta will be sitting pretty as they will be the new the new grain belt for the rest
of
the world.
I know. Well, you know, what's his name? Sun Myung-moon has, well, he's building the Bridge of Love. Or the,
was it the Peace Bridge or something?
It's the Peace Bridge or the Peace Tunnel
Alaska
or something
and
like
Russia.
That. Yes, yeah. Because the the strait there, the Bering Strait, the Bering Sea, it's really melting up there too.
Well, so they say, but then if you actually look at the amount of Arctic ice and the amount of ice buildup and snow buildup on Greenland, there's actually more there now than the Arctic ice levels have returned to 1979 levels and. We have had the coldest 10-year stretch in recent memory. I mean, things are actually cooling down out there now. But, you know, this is not going to be a show about global warming or climate change.
Oh,
just
heaven
kind
knows.
Of an odd
heaven
observation.
Knows not.
But, you know, the.
Do you know who realized first?
Who's
what
that?
Was going on? The bees.
And the bees skedaddled.
The bees skedaddled. They're
That's
not
right.
around anymore. They're long gone. They've gone up north.
They followed the dolphins. So long, and thanks for all the pollen. So. Well, we felt compelled to do another PID radio today after the...
If you haven't already tuned out. Oh, gosh, those guys.
Get to the point! Because of the pageantry of this past week as America inaugurated its 44th president and the first president of African descent, Barack Obama. I think a large portion of his supporters actually thought that the We Are One concert from the Lincoln Memorial... last Sunday was more legitimate, shall we say, than the actual inaugural
well,
ceremony.
Well, it all depends on what you mean by legitimate and what you mean by inaugural.
Well, yeah.
Are we talking about 12:06 on the 20th
on Tuesday,
of January
yeah.
or 7, what was it, 7:30 or something like that?
Oh, the second
the next day?
Swearing
yeah, exactly.
In. Yeah, which took place on No Bible, we noticed. We're not going to get all conspiratorial about that.
Why not?
Just, we do that in our spare time. But the reason I say that the concert might be more legitimate is I think that a lot of Obama supporters, let's face it, put a lot more credibility in what Bono has to say than what Supreme Court you know, Supreme Justice John Roberts.
Well, his demographic does tend to trend young.
Yeah.
And very liberal.
Right.
I mean, let's face it, it does. But as he said, I won.
Yeah.
Therefore,
he's got the mandate.
He's now the decider, and he gets to decide.
And George W. Bush said similar things after he was after he was elected. So I think it will be interesting to watch this coming year and over the course of the next 4 years, because I think there's a very high probability that the progressives, who are his core audience, his core base of support, are going to be more disappointed in him than the conservatives, who are watching mm-hmm. his every move like hawks.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as we're already seeing, he's not even in office a full week, and he's ordered his first missile strike into a foreign country.
He's already declared war on Rush Limbaugh.
Well, and that too.
It's been busy.
Yeah. So,
we shouldn't be surprised about the missile strike.
No.
He has been beating that Afghanistan drum for months.
And saying that we needed to go after Pakistan, which.
Yes. Yes.
Some level-headed folks have rightly pointed out is a nuclear power. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
We, shouldn't be messing about lightly with a country that has nuclear weapons. I mean, if the whole point of going into Iraq and taking out Saddam Hussein was to prevent him from getting nuclear weapons, mm-hmm. if the whole point of being belligerent toward Iran is to prevent them from getting nuclear weapons, why are we launching strikes into sovereign territory of another country that has nuclear weapons? Well, we know that there are areas of Pakistan using the hills and mountains there as hiding places to foment terror. But yeah, those who thought that a Barack Obama was going to bring our soldiers home will be sadly mistaken. And we're already seeing that he's continuing the Bush administration policy of socialism for the wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't get General Motors to buy your car. You know, General Motors couldn't get us to buy their cars, so they're just going to take money out of our pockets and give it to General Motors.
You know, speaking of money out of
our
pockets.
Don't even get a Yugo out of the deal.
Well, when he says change, that's all
that's
they have
who's
going
to have left is the change, yeah.
Well, I was watching Brenda Butner on Fox News the other day, who's one of the financial analysts. She's got a show on Saturdays called Bulls and Bears. She was talking about, and I'm still trying to find out exactly what her information is. She mm-hmm. was talking about not the $650 billion. She was saying $4 trillion
right.
dollar bailout.
Right, because there's been money allocated to bail out Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and AIG that were not part of the TARP funds, mm-hmm. the toxic asset relief program or whatever they called it. Frankly, we think it should mm-hmm. be the consumer ripoff allocation program or you figure out the acronym. Because it's basically what it's doing is, as I said, they couldn't – these big businesses, banks, insurance lenders, automakers, mortgage lenders couldn't make it. And so they're just going to take money from us and give it to these guys to instead of
and not just to the original ones who were just about to fail and were huge.
Right.
It's getting almost to the point where you and I could declare ourselves a bank and get in line.
And get in line and get some money from this program. Well, that's not likely to happen because we're not friends of Hank Paulson.
We're not a bank, Jerry.
Yeah, exactly. Fargo reference in case you're keeping score. So the folks who thought that Barack Obama was, a champion of the poor and downtrodden.
He's a buddy to the rich.
He is a buddy to the rich.
His big supporters, many of them, the campaign contributors, many of them came from high finance. And the people he's appointing to these big positions, key positions, are from big finance and from the American Friends of Bilderberg.
This is a group we haven't talked about in quite some time. And this is actually something new that I discovered this week. Maybe you knew about this.
I didn't know about that organization.
But there
until
is a
this week.
We've talked about the Bilderberg Group in the past. We've not done a show specifically on the Bilderberg Group, but we refer you for a complete background to the website bilderberg.org. A fellow in the UK runs that website, and he has been tracking their every move for years and years and years.
Is that Jim Tucker?
Jim Tucker's a reporter from American Free Press who's been going to these.
Okay. This is a different.
Yeah, the fellow in the UK, his name escapes me, and it's Tony, but I can't remember his last name, and forgive me, Tony.
Blair secretly.
Essentially, it was a group founded by the Prince of Holland back in the 50s, and Prince Bernhard, mm-hmm. named for the hotel where they held the first meeting.
Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, we've known about Bilderberg for a long, long time.
Now, this is just a little background, a little foundational information. I'll try to keep it brief.
It's the American Friends part we just found out about.
Right, but. Yeah. As my dad said, I have a tendency to explain how to build a watch instead of just telling you what time it is. In a nutshell, every year about 300 people, leaders in the world of finance and media and energy and politics, banking.
A lot of blue bloods.
Get together. Yes, because you'll find that the Queen Beatrix of Holland is now mm-hmm. a regular attendee, as is Prince Juan, King Juan Carlos, mm-hmm. excuse me, of Spain, and his queen. Other members of European royalty.
Along with the Rockefellers.
And so forth. We'll get together away from the media. There are always, media in attendance, members of the media, but they never publish what goes on at those meetings. That's
Peter Jennings was a member of the American Friends of Bilderberg.
Right. And this was the offshoot of the Bilderberg group that we just learned about this past week, the American Friends of Bilderberg, member of Barack Obama's transition team, is one of the directors of the American Friends of Bilderberg, along with Henry Kissinger, David Rockefeller, and a number of other names. Richard Holbrooke, who Barack Obama has just brought in to help
with
his foreign policy team.
He's the envoy to Pakistan and Afghanistan, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Holbrooke, who also served in the Clinton administration.
Who supposedly stopped everything in Kosovo. Was it he the architect of what was the big name of his peace treaty?
I will have to look that up, but Holbrooke has been around for a while. He's a player. And in doing a search here, I just typed in American Friends of Holbrooke instead of Bilderberg. So that's
we also have what is it? George Mitchell.
George Mitchell is
also an American Friend of Bilderberg.
Yeah,
CFR member.
The directors of American Friends of Bilderberg.
And Mitchell was just named the envoy to essentially the peace process. Envoy to the Israel,
right.
Gaza. Area.
George Mitchell, who helped broker the deal in Northern Ireland, who also served as the investigator into steroid use in Major League Baseball. So, you know, he's got credentials across the board.
And George well, that makes him really important. George Mitchell also, what is the name of his law firm? I can see it in front of me. Oh, gosh, we'll have to look that up in a minute. But it's right. The second largest law firm in the world. Mm-hmm. And they have sort of connections to a lot of things, including not a direct but an indirect connection to the Ports World.
Dubai Ports World.
Yeah.
Yeah. The directors of the American Friends of Bilderberg, Henry Kissinger, James Wolfensohn, former president of the World Bank, James A. Johnson, who, if I'm not mistaken, was connected to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and also, also connected to the presidential campaigns of John F. Kerry and Barack Obama. David Rockefeller, Richard Pearl, the so-called Prince of Darkness, who was one of the leading neocons. So these
George Soros, isn't he in one of those?
He may be one of the American Friends, but he's not
That's
one of the
I
directors.
Mean. No, but I think he may be one of
the directors.
We're just
talking here. But anyway, these are the guys who are the directors of this organization from which Barack Obama has pulled a couple of key members of his foreign policy team, one of the members of his transition team. And so getting back to, you know, the disappointment that looms for the progressive supporters of Barack Obama, if they think that he is representing hope and change, sadly, they're just not paying attention. The only change, as far as I can see, is in the color of the skin of the man who sits mm-hmm. in the Oval Office. That's the only change.
I think that really is true. And the office, the party that he represents is a change over the last 8 years. But it's the Hegelian dialectic that mm-hmm. we've talked about so many times, where you're presented with two opposite choices, when in fact what they're really trying to do is herd you to the middle.
Mm-hmm. And just as George W. Bush came, I think, as a relief to many people after 8 years of Bill and Hillary Clinton, so Barack Obama comes as a relief to much of the country after 8 years of George W. Bush. One of the things that really opened my eyes was after George W. Bush took office and prior to 9/11 even, was noticing that policies that many conservatives had opposed under Bill Clinton, entitlement programs, for example, suddenly were part of the Compassionate Conservative Initiative. We, I mean, conservatives, true conservatives, cried out against the calls that Bill Clinton made for unrestrained spending. Mm-hmm. I mean, we remember a couple of his State of the Union addresses.
Well, we were just sitting there going, adding up in our minds.
Cha-ching, every time he'd make another call, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And cha-ching, and it was money, 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 mm-hmm. money, money. And conservatives rightly cried out against that and said, this is wrong. You're turning America into a socialist nation. Mm-hmm. Well, what happened? George W. Bush took office and he has run up the biggest deficits in the history of this nation, the largest increases in non-military government spending since FDR. Mm-hmm. He is not governed as a conservative, but because he came in wearing the mantle of a conservative, a lot of Republicans, a lot of people who thought they were conservatives said, oh, well, this must be okay then. And now we see the pendulum has swung back the other way, and people who have protested against warrantless wiretapping, for example, torture of prisoners, and continuing the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, we'll find that President Obama will find reasons to continue those policies of the Bush administration. Mm-hmm. Essentially, we've got the same party controlling the show on both sides. They just changed the R or the D after the name, and the dialectic keeps people in the middle, pacified enough to allow the program to continue.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to go back to that We Are One ceremony.
That was frightening, wasn't it?
It was really creepy. Did you catch the spiritual overtones of that event?
Just take a look at the lyrics to Bruce Springsteen's mm-hmm. song, The Rising.
I just happen to have them right here.
Do you really?
Yes. This one I remembered to bring up on the screen prior to the show. This was sort of a centerpiece of the whole event. I mean, mm-hmm. Bruce Springsteen singing The Rising, and the first stanza is essentially about a feeling of hopelessness. Can't see nothing in front of me, can't see nothing coming up behind. I make my way through this darkness. I can't feel nothing but this chain that binds me. Lost track of how far I've gone, how high I've climbed. On my back's a 60-pound stone, on my shoulder, a half-mile line. And then the chorus is, come on up for the rising. Come on up, lay your hands in mine. Come on up for the rising. Come on up for the rising tonight. Now, second stanza. Left the house this morning, bells ringing filled the air. Wearing the cross of my calling on wheels of fire, I come rolling down here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then come on up for the rising. Come on up, lay your hands in mine. Next stanza. Spirits above and behind me, faces gone, black eyes burning bright. May their precious blood forever bind me, Lord, as I stand before your fiery light. Hello. What are you trying to say there, Bruce?
Exactly. I know. It just reminds me so much of the things we've discussed with Russ Dizdar.
Yeah.
This whole notion of a black awakening. And sadly, it goes back to things that Charles Manson was preaching way back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
That this whole notion of a cultural and or race war would take place, and it only that would that chaos mm-hmm. would pave the way for the wonderful Phoenix Rising
mm-hmm.
that has to take place. And of course, he saw it from a very dark place. He
sure.
saw it from a very prejudiced anti African-American position. He saw this as a way to put the black man in his place mm-hmm. by having the black man try to take out the white man. And then Charles Manson saw himself as a leader of, you know, the group that would counter that. He followed some of the lyrics from the Beatles' White Album.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those songs is called, was it Rise Up?
I've never been a Beatles fan, I'm sorry to say.
The Blackbird is one of the songs. Blackbird singing in the dead of night.
Mm-hmm.
Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You've only waited for this moment to arise. That's where I was thinking about it.
Okay.
Blackbird, fly into the dark, into the light of the dark black night.
Hmm.
Those are some of the lyrics to Blackbird, which was a song penned by Paul McCartney, and he said himself, I've seen it on a video where when asked about the song, he said he wrote it about black women. Now, that sounds wonderful. And maybe if you're just kind of listening in a kumbaya kind of thing, Bruce Springsteen's song sounds wonderful too.
Right.
But to me, it sounds very new agey.
Very new agey. And the whole the question I have, you know, may their precious blood of the spirits, precious blood forever bind me, Lord, as I stand before your fiery light. Now, which Lord, of course?
Exactly.
Which Lord
is he
talking about?
Well, when you're talking about coming on wheels of fire, that sounds like the sun god. And let's think about who used the sun rising over a field of red, white, and blue. Who used
that? Oh, that nice, that logo with the big O that looked like a sun rising over a... Okay.
Yes. Mm. And don't forget that there is... Now, I haven't seen this for sure, but there is scuttlebutt on the internet. Whether this is true or not, it doesn't matter because the fact is it's out there and people are spreading it.
Mm-hmm.
That there is a hadith that says a tall black man will rise in the West and that he will liberate the world, that he will rise at the time of the Mahdi. Now, if I'm misstating that, please forgive me. I don't have a computer in front of me. I'm just saying what I kind of remember. I was reading through this several weeks ago about this supposed hadith. Disinformation can be just as harmful as true information. If someone is purposely out there spreading that rumor that there is a hadith about that, that's something we need to pay
be aware of
to.
Too.
Yeah.
But there was an article that was published in Forbes last fall.
Yes.
About the meaning of Barack Obama's name
in Persian,
Farsi. Obama, meaning he is with us. And that ties in with this hadith, you know, that a tall black man will arise in the West.
Right.
And we'll put a link to that in the show notes, of course, at PIDradio.com, so that you can see that we're not just pulling this out of thin air.
Now, there is a hadith. I have read this one. There is a real hadith, which is, again, these are sayings of prophets over the years, that the Mahdi, one of the signs of the Mahdi coming, and the Mahdi is the Muslim version of their Messiah, when at the time that he's going to come, that the sun will rise in the West. We all know the sun rises in the East. But if you look at that flag, the foreground of that logo with the O rising over it, that is representative of the United States. And if that's a rising O, then it's showing the sun rising out of the West. You know, this imagery is really important. They don't just sit down and just stick an O over, you know, a flag.
Yeah, images mean something or they wouldn't be used. I mean, you know, what's the point? The next verse, I think, of this Springsteen song is even creepier than the last, which is, I see you, Mary, in the garden of a thousand sighs. There's holy pictures of our children dancing in a sky filled with light. May I feel your arms around me. May I feel your blood mix with mine. A dream of life comes to me like a catfish dancing on the end of a line. And again, a reference of Mary and garden.
And more blood
and more blood.
Children dancing in the light.
Yeah. And then he goes to a kind of a final verse here where he just has a reprise where he sings sky of blackness and sorrow, sky of love, sky of tears, sky of glory and sadness, sky of mercy, sky of fear, and so on. And then closes out with, come on up for the rising. Come on up, lay your hands in mine. Come on up for the rising. Come on up for the rising tonight. Well, again, this was sort of the centerpiece of Barack Obama's concert, the We Are One concert at the Lincoln Memorial last Sunday.
Interesting notion, though, rising sun at night.
Yeah, come up for the rising tonight. And the imagery sprinkled in there may just have been Springsteen looking for stuff that evokes certain mental images or certain emotional. But you know, as we've done on said before, our purpose here is not to just be critical for no purpose. Is not to, you know, just talk politics without trying to delve into the real meaning behind what's going on.
The real spiritual warfare that's taking place.
The things that we see with our eyes are just the shadows of the real struggles and maneuverings taking place behind the scenes. And that this event, they evoke the name, if not the spirits, in their minds now, not ours, because once we believe it is appointed unto a man once to die, and then, you know, the judgment. But they evoked the memory, if nothing else, of Martin Luther King Jr., of John F. Kennedy, FDR to some degree, Abraham Lincoln, of course, and Martin Luther King especially. He was mentioned repeatedly. In fact, Martin Luther King's son, Martin Luther King III, was there. U2 came out, and they, of course, sang their song, the tribute to In the Name of Love, which is the tribute to Martin Luther King. During which, as in the introduction to the song, Bono talked about how the election of Barack Obama was the fulfillment of an American dream and a European dream and a Palestinian dream and an Israeli dream.
We are the world.
It was even more than that. Like Barack Obama is the savior of the world, that he is the culmination of all the dreams of the rest of the world. Add that to what we heard from Bruce Springsteen and some of the other things, you know, the evocation of Abraham Lincoln as the great emancipator, forgetting, of course, that it was circumstance that led Lincoln to emancipate the slaves. I mean, he only emancipated the slaves in the Confederacy, which would be like us saying all you Muslims in Iran have to become Christian now. I mean,
Who was the country singer that was performing?
Garth Brooks.
Garth Brooks. Mm-hmm. Now, bear in mind that I heard, I can't remember if it was on CNN or Fox News, but the day before the concert took place, this person, it was a woman, I do remember that, she said, now, mind you, these artists, they aren't necessarily going to be singing their hit songs. They are coming on and they have been asked to sing certain songs. Mm-hmm. Bear that in mind.
Right.
Garth Brooks sang Bye Bye Miss American Pie,
which struck us as
odd song to sing.
Odd for a couple of reasons. Number one, the message of the song seemed really jarring against this otherwise what appeared to be a day-long festival of hope and change and the answer to our dreams and our prayers and the rising.
This is a song of a guy who wants to go commit suicide.
Exactly. Because the music has died.
The music has died, and in the course of that song, the lyrics also include that the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost took the last train for the coast.
Right. Yeah. Very, very
Everything
odd.
Has died, including God. It's all been taken over by Satan. We've got the imagery of Rolling Stones, Mick Jagger,
sure,
as the devil.
Yep, moss grows fat on a Rolling Stone. Yep, yeah. The other odd thing, of course, was that they didn't have Don McLean sing his own songs. Not like Don McLean is dead; he's got a new album coming out this year. But
I know.
That aside, it was really strange to hear that in that context. When you add it to "Come on Up for the Rising," okay, American Pie has died. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, last train to the coast. Come on up for the rising. Mm-hmm.
Now, about the same time that all these things were happening, it was probably been a few weeks ago, in the Huffington Post, very left-leaning online news source, was an article about, what is the gentleman's name, Igor Panin, the Russian academic who has been saying for years that by 2010, the U.S. will have a civil war that will break us up into six regions, and we'll essentially be no more.
Igor Panarin, P-A-N-A-R-I-N, Panarin, Igor Panarin, Professor Igor Panarin, predicting that the U.S. would end in 2010. Now, he's been saying this for over 10 years.
Yes, he has.
But he's a former KGB analyst, so he's got at least a little credibility. Mm-hmm. He also happens to be the dean of the Russian Foreign Ministry's School for Future Diplomats.
And I think he also predicted that there would be a huge economic crash in the United States just prior to 2010. So I think that may be why he's getting a little more attention now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is something to keep an eye on. This was published about December 30th was the article. And again, we'll put a link to this in the show notes at PIDradio.com so you can read the article for yourself. This isn't something that's, you know, being pulled out by some, you know, whack job. This is a guy who holds a position of some responsibility within the government of Russia, mm-hmm. a guy who's responsible for training their guys who are going into the Foreign Service, their diplomats. So.
And he was saying that he believed that the six regions would be under the auspices of other countries.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if I remember correctly, the Southwest was going to be under Chinese control. The Midwest was going to be under Canadian control. So, hey.
It feels like it right now anyway. Yeah. Wind chill outside is minus five. When Panarin first made this prediction about 10 years ago, the United States debt was about $2 trillion. Now, right now, it's about $11 trillion. And that's using the phony baloney accounting methods.
Yeah, it's
that
probably
get,
more like $30 trillion.
50.
Oh.
50, according to the head of the General Accounting Office. The head of the General Accounting Office been going around.
There goes our little piggy bank.
Exactly. So this was his reason for it. Basically, Panarin says that the debt load of the United States is going to become so great that it will essentially cause the country to disintegrate. And while we keep hearing these reassuring platitudes from our elected officials, I would not completely rule it out. The debt is greater than what the government tells us. The official figures, again, are at $11 trillion. But again, the head of the General Accounting Office has been going around telling the country for the last year to anyone who'd listen, which are sadly not very many, that using generally accepted accounting principles, the kind that you have to use if you're doing business in the United States, you try to keep your books like the United States of America, you go to jail. The actual debt is closer to $50 trillion. You can't sustain that forever because it comes a point when China and Japan and the Cayman Islands will quit buying treasuries because they don't believe that in the full faith and credit of the United States anymore. What happens then? Social unrest? Possibly. We note that several years ago, in fact, in the wake of 2001, the 9/11 attacks, KBR, Kellogg Brown and Root, won a government contract, which was renewed in 04 or 05. It was a three-year contract to essentially just go on standby. You know, they paid him several hundred million dollars. Just stand by in case we need you to build large detention camps to hold thousands of displaced persons. Okay. If that was true, why didn't any of these camps materialize after Katrina? No, the thought is that actually these are camps to house people who are being detained against mm-hmm. their will.
Well, that's assuming they were ever built. I mean, it's
well,
it's
no, only... they were never built. That's the point. The KBR was given the contract to have the materials ready to build on a moment's notice. Like suddenly we need to round up a bunch of people and put them in a detention center. We also note that I really don't want to go into how I know this because it's – but I had an interesting thing that happened this week, and take this for what it's worth as, you know, unsourced intel. Learned about government buildings in the Midwest that are being protected by barriers that are intended to stop a tank.
They are designed intentionally.
Yeah,
those
just,
are the
to
words
stop a tank.
To stop a tank.
Now, I kind of laughed about this because, you know, when I said I thought, okay, is this you know a courthouse in downtown Baghdad? But no, this is in the Midwest United States. I also learned that this is not the first government building of this type, and I need to do more research on this. At least one office of the Environmental Protection Agency has been so protected. Now I can understand wanting to protect government buildings. That makes sense.
Exactly.
A courthouse, State House, Capitol building, police stations, things like that. There are people out there, conceivably, who would want to do something bad against a government building like that. But an EPA office kind of struck me as odd. It's not unusual for public buildings to put barriers mm-hmm. as protection against somebody just losing control of a vehicle, a truck,
mm-hmm.
perhaps.
Yeah.
You know, you take a piece of 6-inch pipe, you sink it 2 feet, 3 feet into the ground, fill it with concrete, and there you go. This was a much more substantial barrier. So anyway, I won't, again, I don't want to make this sound too mysterious, and you can take it for what it's worth.
It's just another dot.
Yeah.
Another dot to connect. Another dot I have, going back to the KBR idea, and mm-hmm. I don't know the KBR is behind this at all. Don't know. But Ellen Brown has a very interesting article at globalresearch.ca right mm-hmm. now, where she talks about when she was down in Tucson, mm-hmm. Arizona, in that area, in that county, that she learned about and observed herself relatively new facility that is supposed to be part of the prison system, federal prison system. WAC and HUD employees are working there. They have what appear to be used buses that they're just driving back and forth over and over again, empty. Just like they're practicing. I don't know. This is great. You know, now it could be simply, and this is awful, it could simply be that they have a government contract for certain amounts of fuel and they're just burning it off. I mean, we've heard stories from Iraq where KBR employees were told to drive empty trucks and it's out of gas or it needs a new filter. Oh, torch it, you know, and let's just go on.
We don't want it to fall
and,
into the hands of the enemy. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll just get a new one because they were given, what's the cost?
A cost plus contract.
Cost plus contract,
right.
Which means the more they spend, the more they get.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that it's simply that, but I want to just put in this little caveat that WAC and HUD is no longer an American company.
Yeah.
It's now owned by G4S, which I can't remember what that Soricor or something like that. It's a Danish company.
Mm-hmm. WAC and HUD was founded about 50 years ago by a fellow named George WAC and HUD, and it has picked up a number of security contracts around the country for working as prison guards, guarding American government offices. WAC and HUD Security guards the Department of Homeland Security. Which is kind of odd. You'd think that the United States Marines would be guarding the Department of Homeland Security.
If I'm right, don't they guard some of the
nuclear facilities?
Yes.
Yes, nuclear power plants around the country. They do. And oddly enough, this company is now...
Do you think they'll guard the NBAF facility when it's put in?
I have no doubt. The National Bio and Agro Defense Facility out in Lawrence, Kansas, when that gets built. Lawrence or Manhattan? Kansas State.
Manhattan,
Kansas. So... what's going on out there in the desert near Tucson? Don't know. We'll put a link to Ellen Brown's article
article. And again, you know, she's trying not to be sinister about it either. She's just saying, I have a question about this. What's going on?
Yeah. Why
are
this
they
facility?
Driving empty buses?
Yeah. What is the point? So anyway, just some dots to wonder about. And again, you know, just questions that we have as we go forward.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the you know, and getting back to Obama's inauguration now and some of the events that took place in and around the inauguration.
Aretha Franklin
rocked. Okay. Whew. There's no question there. I mean, we can all agree. Yes. Aretha's hat rules. I'm trying to think of some term that, you know, our daughter would use that would be hip and cool.
I don't know.
You know, rules,
don't ask
rocks,
me. Yeah. I don't think she'd use either of those.
Probably not.
It's something else.
But Rick Warren did not rule.
No.
Rick Warren, the pastor, of course, author of Purpose Driven Life and and the guy who hosted the summit at which Barack Obama and John McCain mm-hmm. both spoke, was the pastor who delivered the invocational prayer.
There's a reason it's called invocational prayer.
Yeah.
You are invoking
the presence of the Holy Spirit,
yes.
Invoking God. Rick Warren invited a couple of different gods. According to what we heard, he not only invoked Jesus, he invoked Isa.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Isa is the name that Muslims apply to Jesus of Nazareth.
But they're not preaching the same Jesus that Derek and I worship.
No, they believe that Allah has no son.
Right.
And so Jesus was just a man. Now, Isa was just a man. They do admit that Isa was born of a virgin. Interestingly.
Strangely, yeah.
And on a quick side note, I read that there are some evangelists who are actually using that as a starting point to witness in certain Muslim countries.
Now, look, that's fine if you want to use that as a starting point. And my understanding from that it really is making a difference. That's different from invoking the spirit of Isa.
That is different from invoking the spirit of Isa, which Rick Warren did. And to our ears, frankly, that wasn't any different than Reverend Gene Robinson whose invocation at the We Are One concert, by the way, was cut off by HBO.
Yeah, isn't that odd?
It was excluded. That was no different than Gene Robinson calling on the God of our many understandings.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sorry, but if you're a Christian, Jesus doesn't give you that option. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me.
Amen, brother.
So,
amen. We need to pray for Rick Warren, seriously. And, you know, the body of Christ, we need to pray for him because he may be a true believer. That's not for me to judge. But I can tell you that what he as a pastor is doing is leading people astray.
Mm-hmm.
And he is going to be held accountable for that.
Yeah. And I know this isn't a popular position to take within the body of Christ, because obviously a lot of people find Rick Warren's message appealing and uplifting. Otherwise, he wouldn't be a New York Times best-selling author. He wouldn't be invited to speak at the United Nations. He would not be invited to invoke the gods, small g,
mm-hmm.
At the inauguration of a president of the United States. He would not be invited by Tony Blair to partner his peace initiative, his global peace plan, with Tony Blair's Ecumenical Faith Foundation,
mm-hmm.
which is pushing the United Nations Millennium Development Goals. Sadly, what Pastor Warren is doing is essentially putting the end above the means.
Mm-hmm.
And the means, in this case, are discarding or setting aside doctrine in favor of getting the job done, getting mm-hmm. results.
No, you can't do that.
And the results are all earth results. They're all and they're good things.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing that it makes it so difficult to argue against, and why so many people have trouble with this kind of objection to what he's doing. There is nothing wrong with feeding the hungry and treating the sick and trying to bring relief to the poor and downtrodden. There is nothing wrong with that whatsoever. We are called to do that as mm-hmm. Christians. But our primary calling, the prime directive, if you will, is to preach the gospel, preach the good news, make disciples of all nations. That is it. The other stuff is supposed to flow from that. And sadly, what Pastor Warren is doing is saying, look, in order to get relief to Rwanda or to the AIDS victims in Africa, we need to partner with the United Nations. We need to partner with Tony Blair's Ecumenical Faith Foundation. We need to work together with people who don't believe in the Jesus of the gospel in order to get the job done. Now, that is, I think, a stepping stone on the path to the deception of the elect. I think that this will lead to many well-meaning people who believe themselves to be Christians,
the
attempted deception of the elect. Thank you. Who call themselves Christian, who will see a popular charismatic leader step onto the world stage and say, "What he's doing is a good thing. Let's all get behind this. In fact, vote for me. Give me your support. Put me in power, and I will see to it that this gets done."
Mm-hmm. No, the Lord God Jehovah does it through small acts, through humble people, through people that don't necessarily think they have the wherewithal to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
He'll use the grandma in the pew on her knees praying
mm-hmm.
to effect massive change.
Right. That is the weapon that we use in the battle. Warren uses the principles laid out by business consultant and guru Peter Drucker
mm-hmm.
and is his tripod theory, where you have to meld church, business, and government together in order to, like a three-legged stool, in order to achieve the desired result, which
mm-hmm.
is educating the, education and health and so forth, ending poverty and things like that. And it's a very short leap from there to and from where Rick Warren is right now to, mm-hmm. to a marriage of church and state.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have no doubt that the Christians, the leaders of the Christian church in Rome in the fourth century thought that, that God had really blessed them when the Emperor Constantine said, you know, this Christianity thing is legal now, and then began doling out favors to the prominent Christians in Rome in that time. Mm-hmm. Because they saw that through the state, they could get more good done. They could do more good for more people by using the power of the state mm-hmm. than by relying on the tools that we were told to use by Jesus Christ, which is
let's not forget who's in charge of the nations.
Yes. Go back and reread the account of Jesus in the desert, where he is told by the enemy, Satan, that if you'll bow down and worship me, I will give you all of these kingdoms because they've all been given to me mm-hmm. and I give them to who I will.
Exactly.
Note that Jesus did not rebuke him for such a, for that statement, mm-hmm. which means it's true. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a hard saying for American Christians to accept. I know it was for me. That includes the government of the United States.
The United States. Fallen angels run the world.
Mm-hmm.
The spirits of the enemy run the world. Only God's chosen people. He chose out that people from myself, mm-hmm. and that's the nation of Israel. And off of the nation of Israel grew the church.
And I don't see that you can make the claim scripturally that the United States has taken the place of Israel as God's chosen nation and God's chosen people.
We don't buy into that at all.
No, not at all.
No.
So
Israel is still Israel.
So bear that in mind when, whether it be Rick Warren or anyone else.
And when I say
else,
that, I mean spiritual Israel. I'm not talking about the country
state.
Known as Israel.
Right.
I'm talking about the spiritual.
So please bear that in mind when you hear Rick Warren or anyone else recommending that we partner with government or with people, that we set aside doctrine in order to partner with the tool of the enemy, basically mm-hmm. the domain of the enemy in order to help more people. Again, we have nothing against charitable works. We are told by James that faith without works is dead. And so we are called, yes, to help the poor, the needy, the sick, the homeless, and so on. But not to seek temporal power, earthly power, government power, in order to get that done.
And one of the greatest works, if not the greatest work, is fulfilling the Great Commission.
Yeah. Preaching the gospel.
Yes.
Which Rick Warren has, you'll notice if you read his peace plan, it's been modified from its original form when one of the letters in the acronym stood for, preach the gospel. Or evangelize. It was evangelize. It was plant churches, I guess it was. Yeah. Right. It was changed. He was changed from plant churches to promote goodwill or something.
I don't know, my books or something.
But yeah. But anyway, that was taken out because apparently there were some parts of the world that had a problem with them planting Christian churches there. Well, that's our Great Commission.
And this, seriously, this is why we need to pray for Rick Warren. He's mm-hmm. in a position where he really can influence people. He really can stand up for the Lord. And he needs to be reminded,
right.
And we just need to pray that the Lord would humble him mm-hmm. and remind him that if his heart really does belong to, the Father, then he needs to get right.
Yeah, because very often he will say the right things. When you look at the website for his church, they don't shy away from Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But when you see the big initiatives that he's promoting and pushing mm-hmm. and the partnerships that he's promoting with the United Nations, essentially, mm-hmm. Then you have to step back and say, wait just a minute here. What is ultimately the goal here? As Christians, we understand that we are not going to create heaven on earth. That is a New Age concept. That is a Luciferian concept that we, through our actions, mm-hmm. can create a heaven here on
that
earth.
That goes back to Nimrod.
Right.
Which in many ways, if you look at what's being said about Barack Obama, mm-hmm. That's one of the big things I have, makes me so uncomfortable is it almost feels like, this notion of the one and
right. Yeah.
We are one and we need to unify into one. And mm-hmm.
You go back to his speech at the Brandenburg Gate in Berlin, where he said, people of Berlin, people of the world, now is our moment. This is the time, or this is the moment, now is our time, whatever. But essentially the same thing.
It was a rallying cry to the world.
To the world.
That now that, if you know, once I'm elected, the United States is going to lead the charge, and we're all going to unify. Kumbaya.
Yeah. Well, that is the direction.
Obama.
We see things going. Imhotep.
Obama.
And sadly, again,
I have to tell you, though, seriously, this is just, you know, I have nothing to back this up. I just want to tell you what I think of sometimes when I look at pictures of Obama. He's a handsome man.
Mm-hmm.
Let's face it. They are a handsome couple.
They are.
But he reminds me of Akhenaten.
Oh, the Egyptian pharaoh with the really
Tutankhamun's father.
Long head.
Yeah. Look at pictures of Akhenaten, and he reminds me of Akhenaten. You know, I think some of the imagery of Akhenaten is a little out there.
Distorted,
but,
yeah.
But there are some statues that have been, you know, from that era that have been found, and he looks much more normal, much more real. And he really does remind me of Akhenaten.
Obama-naten? Well.
And I mean, seriously, I mean, I don't know what sort of bloodline he's from, but wouldn't that be interesting?
Well, his ancestry, the Luo tribe.
The Luo tribe sort of traveled around, didn't they?
Yeah, Kenyan, but from northern Kenya, which would put them sort of on the edges of the ancient Egyptian kingdom, or at least the Sudanese kingdom, mm-hmm. which would have had contact.
Mm-hmm. Well, Akhenaten tried to unite everybody to follow the one god, the sun, the Aton.
Hmm. Interesting thoughts. Well, again, we'll put links to all these things at PIDradio.com just because I know a lot of this
is... Don't blame me. That's simply my brain.
Yeah. Stream of consciousness type stuff, but we'll also have to put a picture, or maybe you should just get busy with Photoshop.
No, actually, if you do a Google search on it, you'll eventually hit some. And in fact, if you do a Google search for Obama Akhenaten, mm-hmm. I'm not the first one to notice that, because I wanted to see pictures of them side by side, and I did that search, and I found a few other people that have said the same thing, you know. Oh, well.
Well, it's going to
Sam's not up here today, by the way, and we've gotten a few emails from people, you know, saying that they really enjoy that we talk about Sam. He's downstairs snoring away, so I don't know.
Yeah,
I guess
so,
he finds us boring.
Yeah, well, we weren't talking about him enough in the last show, so he said forget it. Unless we include him more in this week's show, he's not going to...
he wants his own website. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be an interesting...
talk about politics. P-A-W. Okay, now while people leave the room to throw up. Sorry about that.
It is going to be an interesting 4 years as we you know, look ahead. The pundits have been, you know, saying that Barack Obama aced his first 100 hours in office. The challenges are still to come, of course, as we try to figure out what's going to happen financially with the global economy. The money, the network of money, is so interconnected now, so much more so than it's been in the past, that the repercussions from what has happened here in the United States over the last 10 years will not leave anyone untouched, I think.
No. But just remember, we really don't talk about these things to try to instill fear in you. That's why we laugh so much.
Right. And it's not that we don't take these things seriously either.
We do. Our battle is against spiritual entities. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And for that reason, don't think that you can defeat what's going on by, you know, human intervention.
Right.
You can't. This is a spiritual war. So use the spiritual armament that the Lord gave us. And look at Ephesians 6:12, 13, 14, right in there. Mm-hmm. You'll see Paul talks about all of that. We've got the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. The sword of the Lord, which is another word for the Bible. I mean, there we have the armament we need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to pray and to stay in good fellowship with other believers. And if you don't have a home church, and I know many of you don't, we get emails about that. Derek and I don't have a home church.
Mm-hmm.
We keep getting funny stares from people in churches. There's nothing wrong with that. Find like-minded people at a Bible study and start one, or, you know, there are online communities. And we want to thank over and over again Daniel Eaton, who has mm-hmm. taken up the task of putting together a forum, piercing the darkness. That's a great place to hang out.
Yeah, some interesting folk and some very intelligent conversation. Boy, there's some things there, especially when we start getting into this whole Egyptian thing and the Egyptian gods and the connection to
Akhenaten.
Yeah, it gets pretty deep pretty quick, and it's one of those things where you really have to know your stuff in order to hang in there. So it's good for kind of sharpening the edge and making sure you know what you're talking about. That is something that I can't. Looking back at my life, I can't believe how many years I went. Just sort of believing in sort of a doctrine absorbed by osmosis from the culture. And I think many people are that way. I thought I knew it was in the Bible until I actually opened it and began reading it. And it was kind of a personal, I don't know, tragedy is the right word, but, I was under a lot of stress, and that was what kind of prompted me to start looking into what it was I believed. How can I teach my child what's right and wrong when I didn't know the basis for my own beliefs? And that was a real eye-opening experience to actually get in the Bible and find out what's in there. Oh, well, I guess I got to stop doing that. And I guess I got to change my stance on this, that, and the other too.
But there's so much encouragement in there too.
There is.
It isn't all bad stuff.
No, not at all. And I think a lot of people have a negative view of Christianity as this religion of thou shalt not, when in fact there is an awful lot of freedom in there. Mm-hmm.
A lot of rejoice.
Yeah, and I think ultimately, at least from my mindset now, I know you and I are wired differently in this regard because you came to a saving faith much earlier, younger than I did. For me, digging into the apologetic side and finding the historical evidence and finding that evidence compelling, for me, was what really drove it home to where, I get up in the morning now and know that just as surely as my feet are going to hit the floor because of gravity, that the life, death, resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth is an historic fact. And that being true and the record of his sayings and teachings being accurate means that I've got to make some decisions, and sometimes hard decisions, about what I believe, what I say, what I do. A lot of freedom in those teachings, because it's not about rules. It's not about lists of things that I'm supposed to do in order to earn my way into heaven. On the other hand, there is a lot of personal accountability, because it means you have to know, as Jesus said, love the Lord God, the Lord your God, with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind. And that's what we try to do through this program and through the things that we write and read and talk about. And so I am now blathering. So,
congratulations.
The mind part kind of petered out there, and the heart was sort of carrying it out. Carrying
Honey, there's
it
smoke coming out of your ears.
Well, at least that part of me is warm then, I guess. So now the future of PID Radio. We don't want to take up too much more of your time. We appreciate you hanging with us for nearly a full hour here. We will do these programs on an occasional basis as we feel led. Again, the spiritual overtones of the weekend before and the inauguration, and the inauguration itself, not only Rick Warren's inauguration speech, but the prayer that followed at the invocation at the National Prayer Service the following morning at the National Cathedral. Won't even go into that. Again, another feel-good mashup of Native American teachings and Muslim teachings, and
it's encapsulated in what Obama himself said in the inauguration. We are a nation of Christians and Muslims and Jews and blah 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 and unbelievers. It's the first time any president has ever said unbelievers.
And the pastor who delivered the invocation at the National Prayer Service. But the sermon at the National Prayer Service only mentioned Jesus in the context of saying Jesus summed up the teaching of Isaiah, which was that we show love for God by helping others. Well, no, I thought it was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. But again, that's the social gospel. That is the and again, that was at the National Cathedral, the Episcopal Cathedral, which is Well,
don't even go.
Yeah, we won't even go there because that'll, you know, that's another show. But that is the state of American Christianity, sadly, for many Americans. It is the Church of Laodicea. It's a feel-good church. Mm-hmm. We're rich, so we must be doing okay. God has blessed us because look at all the stuff we got. Now, we're being sifted, but in a different way.
We are. And don't forget that Laodicea wasn't entirely cold.
No.
They were lukewarm.
Right.
Which means that there may be, I mean, if you look at it that way, it's sort of the average of the whole bunch mm-hmm. is that you're lukewarm. It could mean that there are a few in there that are trying to do it right.
Well.
But lukewarm doesn't cut it.
No.
You have to be hot or cold. And that just shows it's yes or no. It's one or zero. It's pass or fail.
But we say to our Christian brothers and sisters out there who are alarmed at the political turn of events over the last few months here in the United States, our weapon is not political action committees. It is through prayer and fasting. And we should pray for our brothers and sisters in ministry that they be guided by the Holy Spirit. We should pray that the Holy Spirit guide our president. And we should remember ultimately that President Obama is where he is because God has allowed it to. And
remember, the Lord God Almighty is not in it for a 4 or 8 year term.
That's right.
He is in it for eternity. So as far as that's concerned, nothing's changed.
Yeah, this is
He's still in charge.
Amen to that. If you'd like to reach us by email anytime, you can do so, Derek@peeringintodarkness.com or Sharon@peeringintodarkness.com.
And you can always, as I said earlier, visit the forum. It's the Piercing the Darkness Forum, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes.
And as always, until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
News and analysis on demand.
This is PID Radio.